Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Testing my mic.
Well, that's very, very low.
Super low.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL off-season podcast. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, there's a story doing the rounds at the moment about old mate who decided he'd hook up with a girl from high school and spend cup day out on South Bank. So,
like first date, was it?
Yeah. Something like they'd known each other from school, yep. And they've been out and whatever. So he's down on South Bank and whatever, you know, showing her around Melbourne because she's from the Gold Coast originally. And, you know, as they're having lunch, she said, look, mate, no, just not feeling it. It's just not there. And he's like, all right, fair enough, you know, thanks for being honest kind of thing. And so he's waiting for the cup to run, and then the cup runs and he doesn't really think much about it. He says, well, fuck it, they're having lunch and may as well check out what's going on in the other races. So he opens his Sportsbet account. Sportsbet have made sure to get mileage out of the shit. And realises there's a few numbers there. He's like, oh, fuck. Look at this. What are those numbers saying? She's taking the phone and she's like, holy crap, it's $800,000. Wow. And he's like, fuck yeah. And she's like, oh, that's awesome, it's great. He's like, don't worry, I'm not going to forget about you. And she's like, really? He's like, yeah, you don't need to worry about the train now. I've got you an Uber to the airport. Have fun.
That's it. That's the way to do it. I would dodge the bullet, I guess, both ways there.
Well, the funny part is, like, you know, because people have interviewed him because it's a good story, and she's like, yeah, story of my life.
Yeah. Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
I do, indeed. So, as people would have known, had a wedding on the weekend. So I was one of the best men. We had two best men there.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm known for giving a speech every now and then. And, my personal highlight of my speech was, after telling a story, the mum of the groom stood up, pointed at me and started yelling out, no, no, no.
So that's what you want.
Yes. At that point, I thought, maybe I went too far.
No, that means you've nailed it.
Where was she standing up? Like, was it sort of a gentle, casual sort of...
No.
Or was this like in the middle of a sit-down, formal dinner, black tie?
Sit-down, formal dinner, and like there's no bridal party table, so she's like just opposite the bride. And I'm at the front, and yeah, she's about, I'd say, 10 meters away from me, holding her arms out in front of her with like a no-deal sign, yelling out, no, no, and then starts pointing at me. And I'm like, it's all right, it worked out fine, they're married. That's it, mum didn't raise no quitter, so I finished that fucking speech off like a champ.
Was going to say, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Was it the one where he shat himself or another one?
No, it was the one where the cops got called to our house and he answered the door and pretended to be retarded. And it was the watered down version, like absolutely watered down.
Well, I mean, that's the 3 second version. Yeah, it's all right. It's a good story.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I'm like, don't worry about it, Pat. It turned out fine. They didn't come back. So when we're going through writing the speech, we're like, got a pretty brutal one. And we're like, I asked like the other best man's girlfriend, what about this? She's like, you can't say basically 75% of that. So I'm like, shit, there goes my content. It's going to be a watered down, plain, boring old speech.
So after you cut out 25% of it.
Yeah, apparently not. Family of the bride was not happy at all either. I asked the bride next day, I'm like, did I really ruin your wedding? She's like, no, it was amazing. Like, everyone had a great time. Like, everyone loved your speech. I'm like, what about your family? She goes, yeah, probably not. I say probably not.
It's not their day, though, is it?
It's not. It's my day.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I always say. It's the things that go wrong. They're the ones that you remember and enjoy, and they create the stories.
Yes.
You know, going years later.
And yeah, I mean, no one remembers what fucking colour napkins you had or anything.
No.
Or even half the time what anyone had for dinner. But you have that interesting story.
Yep.
And that's what sustained you.
I am the interesting story. And I thought this story was going to be a winner, but it was the watered-down version. I've told the story many times, and I've got it nailed. But the reaction was just, ooh, and then, no, no. But they made the wine that was provided there, so I blame them.
Yep, head fault.
Fair enough. The funny thing is, like you say, the stories that come out on the in the groomsman's speech, it's always the watered-down version.
Yeah.
If you have to embellish your groom speech, the groom's a boring fuck.
Yeah. I had to do a lot of restraining. Needed three editing and three editors and still didn't do enough editing. Although there was a point I was pretty drunk and I read like the first paragraph and then I just sort of freestyled and had the speech by my side.
That's the way to do it.
I was up there with a mic in my hand, basically. It was almost like an MLM presentation, really.
That's what I always had to do with those sort of speeches. Just have like four dot points and just riff.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, three of those dot points were, do not say this. think I missed that do not part.
That's a mistake, that one, yeah. No, I don't really have a highlight of the week. It's been quite boring, although we've had the in-laws staying with us for the last week, and they like playing May I? Which is a card game like Canasta, sort of. And it's not really that enjoyable card game, to be honest. I don't like it.
You can't bet on it.
Pretty much. I did try to introduce an element of it because, like, there's seven different hands, and like the first time you go for two three of a kinds, and then the next time it's one three of a kind and a four card straight, so on and so forth. But I tried to change it into gambling. I'm like, okay, what if you've got those seven hands, but you can go for whichever one you want, and then you've got to cross it off, and then next time you've
unlocked
six. Anyway, it was too confusing for them, but I liked it. Anyway, we played seven games in my eye, and I won six of them. And I was, even after like four or five of them, I've said to my wife, like, oh, I don't even like this game.
Or your family.
I think it's actually okay to cheat when playing cards with the in-laws. Like, if you're short,
I didn't need to.
If you're underdealing or anything like that. In fact, I would take it as a point of requirement to cheat. So if you can just, you know, work the deck or something.
No, there was no need. Like,
I'm not saying there's a need. I'm saying
after a few games, like, I'm not even paying attention. I'm just trying to sing the most annoying songs I can think of, and I don't know many songs and I don't know many words, so I'm just singing like La Bamba.
You
only
know six words.
La Bamba.
You should have made your own checklist, like cock show mother-in-law.
I got them all. That's all right. So anyway, it's the off-season. I've been checking out AFL media a lot lately, and there's plenty of training down the houses, and he's come back early from pre-season, and he's putting in his best pre-season ever and a full pre-season.
And he's gotten fined for fucking off somewhere without telling Asada.
Oh, yeah, that happens every year. It's like,
drugs. Do you reckon it's just the AFL needs a little bit of a top-up? Like, Gil's like, oh, fuck, I forgot that was due. All right, where's so-and-so? Oh, I don't know. All right, that's a fucking fine.
Wouldn't surprise me at all if that's the way they go about it. Or Asada doing the exact same thing. It's like, oh, Christmas is coming. Shit, we spent all our money trying to screw over Essendon. Oh, do you think we get another article out of that? No. All right, well, do you know where Libra is? Well, there's a fine.
Yeah. Do you reckon Essendon just have low-jacked all their fucking players just to make sure they're not caught again? Where is he? GPS coordinates 0111447.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise
me. The tab.
So we promised a couple of weeks ago that we'd go through the 2009 draft. Is it the 2010 draft that was conducted in 2009? Is that how they name it? No, well, 2009 annual draft.
Yeah, 2009 draft, National which draft. Occurs at the end of the 2009 season, which we're about to look at in the 2009 draft.
Yeah. We did the 2009
trade period.
So I think the draft's 2 weeks away or 3 weeks away for this year. So this was 2 years before Gold Coast entered, so the second last compromise draft. Yeah. And I think this might have been the last one where you got the automatic priority picks.
Yeah.
For going shit. The AFL soon realised, yeah, it's probably not a good idea. Let's
incentivising losing, yeah. Not really in the spirit of sport.
Well, yeah, because the teams that benefited the most would have been Melbourne and Carlton, and
they found it tanking, yeah, not that great. But anyway, we'll start off there. We'll just do a tick and a cross for each pick.
Yep, discretion, of course.
At your discretion. So we'll start off with the number one priority pick was Tom Scully from Melbourne. He was the consensus number one pick at the time.
Yeah.
And you got to say, a little bit unlucky for Melbourne.
Well, it's scary that 10 years on, he's still being talked of in potential.
Well, I mean, he's made All-Australian. Mm. There's no doubt. He was an excellent footballer at GWS.
Yeah.
But he was still brilliant
when he was on the pitch.
But have we seen his best, though?
His last full year at GWS, before he did his ankle, he was the number one runner in the competition. Mm. And I think he led the competition as well for like minutes played as a midfielder.
Yeah.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
Like, his athleticism is beyond question, but his impact has not been as much. And part of it too, at GWS, he was surrounded by superstars in the middle as well. So it's hard to... He's not the superstar in a shit team.
He was all Australian. None of those other midfielders were. I mean, he was the best player there.
I think it was just injuries, really.
Well, at the end. That's what everyone remembers, is he ended up, his last year, he played 5 minutes.
Yeah.
At GWS.
In the end, Melbourne got fuck all out of him.
Exactly. That's the point, though. His best footy was at GWS.
Yeah.
They got 2 years out of him, and, you know, future captain, all that kind of stuff. But GWS ran in and gave him the absolutely stupid offer that he had no choice but to accept.
Yeah.
And his old man accepted as well.
Yeah. They closed that loophole pretty quickly.
Oh, well, his old man's pay was actually in GWS's salary cap, they decided.
Yeah, I think they had to do that.
They had to. And, like, GWS only had young kids anyway, so they had room.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, and they had Kohler in those days too, don't forget.
Yeah, I'm marking that down as a loss for Melbourne, because fuck all out of that.
Yeah, the right players just didn't work out for them.
Yep.
I mean, so we're giving it in terms of what the team got out of that player for their career. And I can't remember what they got in the trade for Scully, but I remember...
It wasn't a trade.
Oh, that's right. It was end of contract.
No, neither. It was... they're allowed to sign players over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
entry.
Because GWS came in, they picked... they got Scully. So the number two pick was Jack Trengrove, who came over from Sturt. I didn't realise he played in the Sandville.
Yeah, no.
That's where he got trouble.
Well, explains why he went back then, I guess. Yeah.
Well, this is the difficult one because, I mean, number two pick and they got a future captain out of it. The only problem is probably shouldn't have been captain.
No, he was joint captain and...
In his second year with the other Jack, I've forgotten his name.
Watts.
No, it wasn't Jack Watts. He just finished up.
Don't know.
Anyway, that's how well he went. Jack Trengrove and Jack... No, gone blank. No matter. So what do you make of this one?
Well, I think it's an absolute loss for Melbourne.
Yeah.
I think they've had top two draft picks, priority picks, and picked up two players they really didn't get much out of. So actually, I'm going to put that down as win for Richmond, because we definitely would have picked up Scully.
Yeah. And instead, picked up a bloke who's...
We'll try and stick on the one player just for now. So he was a decent player, but if you do remember, Richmond did try to actually trade for him, and he failed the medical. So you can see that's where Trengrove's career really fell down at Melbourne.
Yeah,
got a bit of a lifeline at Port Adelaide, and then I don't think he played more than three games.
Yeah, but I'm putting it as a fail too, just also because of who they didn't pick. Like looking down the list, there's Brownlow medalists, you know, coming up. And it's easy to look in hindsight, but that's what we're here for.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. So, unfortunately, Jack Trengrove. And you look, probably any other team at the time that had picks one and two would have made the same picks.
Yeah.
That's always the thing. You know, looking back on it, it's not something that we're trying to say, aren't they stupid?
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of teams would have made the same picks. Jack Grimes was the other captain I was trying to think of.
Yep.
I had to Google that, unfortunately. Pick number three, Dusty Martin goes to Richmond. So
Richmond tanked and just got a premiership out of it.
Obviously, Richmond very happy with the way this one turned out. And something I mentioned to you, Brenton, the recruiters that one of the biggest failures ever that still gets talked about was tambling over Franklin.
Yeah.
And the Richmond guys did that and, you know, all the hype that's gone on with that. The same guys that made that pick picked Dusty Martin at number three.
Yep. Yeah, so what idiots picked him over Ben Cunnington? Fucking moron.
Terrible. But yeah, obviously it's a big win. But there wasn't always that way at the start. There were lots of question marks over him and his dedication and...
Well, he's almost dropped a couple of times, wasn't he?
Quiet, reserved in nature.
Well, he got caught, but he had more talent than... who's the fellow he got caught with?
Yeah.
Exactly, you have to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, the guy's up in Sydney, yeah, wasn't
it? Dan Conlon or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Conlon, Dan Connors, yeah.
Connors, who got Connors, sacked.
I think. Yeah, he got sacked because he just didn't have as much talent as Dusty, even though they both did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's life in the AFL. That's life in the world, yeah, actually. Mm.
So I think he moved in with Koch after that, and that's what he credits as sort of turning that around.
You can certainly see how much he is a part of the fabric of Richmond. And not just, obviously, he's the fan favourite and that kind of stuff, but he genuinely loves playing with his team, and he genuinely hates talking to anybody else.
Yep.
Which always makes it funny when he's trying to sell something or he's got PR guys that are pushing him out there. I'm like, I know you got to make a quid, but no.
Yeah, just don't bother. Like, you're getting zero content out of that.
Like, yeah, you're not getting anything. It does not matter. Like, photo shoot, no worries.
Yeah.
Away you go. Just don't interview him.
Well, Gary Ablett Sr. was the same. Still is, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
except he was hiding a few skeletons in the closet, literally.
Yeah, he literally had more to hide than Dusty, which is, when you think about it.
Well, I mean, you never know. Has Dusty been to the Ramada Grand in Adelaide?
Maybe he's better at hiding. Well, maybe, he's saying.
Maybe he's got his biking mates to get rid of the evidence.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
But this also goes back to something like, you might say, and we'll get to Nat Fyfe, who is later on in this draft, but you could say Nat Fyfe is the better player than Dusty Martin. However, he's not the better player for Richmond. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I always relate it back to...
Well, no, because he's at Freo.
I relate it back to when Hawthorne picked up Hodge instead of Judd.
Yeah.
Well, Judd's a better player, but we got more out of Hodge than you could have ever hoped for.
Yeah.
It's the same with Dusty. You got more out of Dusty than you could have ever hoped for.
Yeah.
Two normies, a Brownlow, and a couple of flags.
What's that? 10 years ago and still just in his peak.
Yeah, so. Yeah. He's literally come off.
Yeah. Well, it took a few years for him to get up, but you expect that.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Not many walk in and start, you know, getting in the best and fairest and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And obviously, Dusty walked into a poor side as
well. Yeah, we were shit ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we were even ninth men then. I think we were just shit.
Well, I mean, you finished second last to get that pick. So, yep. Obviously, you've done very well with that, and they're still dining out on that one. Pick number four, Anthony Morabito.
He's another one. He had so much potential and had a couple of good seasons from memory, but. Injuries.
I don't think he even got a couple of seasons. I know he had four knee recos.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was another one that was sort of a star of the waffle. Talked about
a bit, yeah.
Big, or he's looking up his stats.
How many games did he play?
26.
26 games. So that's what I mean.
Season.
He was never put more than a couple of games back to back. He injured just constantly.
Well, and also he played 23 games in his 2010 year, which was obviously his
first year, yeah.
And then played three the rest of his career, playing none in 11, 12, 13, again, and 3 and 14.
And I think he was still on the list for 15, 16, and maybe 17 even.
Yeah, so he got a rising star in his rookie year and was looking the goods and then just
knee, knee. You know what, mate? Go find something else to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to say it's an X for Freo because it didn't work out, but it's not their fault.
Yep. Yeah, it was the right move. Like, he obviously had a good rap behind him based on his waffle. I'm pretty sure I just read that he debuted in seniors in the waffle in 2009. They got drafted straight away.
From the Peel Thunder.
Yeah.
So it's a waste of a fourth pick, but obviously Freo have done all right later on in this one.
Yeah.
Pick number five, Ben Cunnington.
Absolute win.
I mean, yes, but yeah, they've done well north with Cunnington, but in hindsight, I mean, there are obviously better players that have gone on lower picks.
Yeah.
But how do you judge it?
Not many, though. The only better player on lower pick immediately I can see is Fyfe.
I think you'll find
Mitch Duncan.
There's Gorn's later on as well.
But we weren't going to pick Gorn, though.
No. I don't know how.
I mean, he's a better pick than Cunnington, than Morabito.
Yeah,
straight up.
Yeah, you got more out of him, and the fact that he's still going now, and probably I'd say come off his career best.
Yeah, I'd say so.
If it wasn't as damn close to it, You know,
fell over a little bit in part of the season, but he was absolutely dominating contested possessions for quite a fair whack of it.
And if you picked the All Australian side at the halfway mark of last year, you'd probably get a Guernsey.
Mm. Yeah.
So you'd have to say it's a tick.
We'll give him a tick.
Because he's a good player, he's in their leadership group, and he's still going now, 10 years later.
He's stuck around, so that's always handy.
Looking at this list, we should have picked who's best in front of the media, because that'd be a tough fucking call. Oh, it's a nil-all draw so far.
I got to say, none of them talk at all.
No.
And it gets worse as you go down.
You've got the silent generation happening.
We've got our first tick for North there.
Yeah.
Next up, Gary Rowan, who went over to Sydney from the Geelong Falcons.
See, I want to give half a tick because he's been super handy and I think he's got a shit ton of potential, but he hasn't really set it alight.
Premiership player. This is a big tick for me.
I'm giving it a tick. I think Gary Rowan's been good, but again, injuries at the end of his career, just you forget the start where he was like a gun. Good goal kicker out of the midfield as well. Always push forward.
There was a lot of times too, his run out of the back line when he was playing down back, like tore sides up and they had no idea what to do about him.
Yeah.
Also kicked a goal after the siren to beat Essendon.
Yep.
That's a tick in my book any day of the week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Give him a tick.
Tick for Sydney. And obviously he's now down at back home at Geelong.
Yeah.
And
he got to the park this year, didn't he?
I think this is his second year down at Geelong.
Yeah.
But he is one of those, he kicked 4 goals and a quarter against Hawthorn one game.
Yeah.
And he might have kicked 8 goals for the year, you know, that type of thing. I'd say it's a big tick for the Swans. Again, they could have made better picks. There are other players that went later that played better, but yeah, you got some value out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we got Brad Shepherd, who went over to West Coast. And again, another player, still going.
Yep. And did he just retire?
Still going.
Still going.
Premiership player.
And, obviously, we're going to get a whole lot of Western Australian media over here, but I heard he's beloved at West Coast.
Absolutely. Like,
well, I think someone who's still with the club after 10 years, the same club they got drafted to.
And his best 22.
And his best 22. You've got to give it a tick there. Like, if you're drafting a kid and you think, I'm getting 10 years out of him.
Brilliant.
And he'll be in the top team for, you know, probably not the first year, but from then on. That's a tick. You've drafted well.
Yeah, especially for a top 10 pick. Because top 10 picks, you don't want to waste them. You know, I don't think they are made out of gold, like some people pretend they are.
Yeah.
But you don't want to, you know, a top 10 pick that never plays for her. That leaves after 2 years, like some of the other ones did.
Because I think West Coast finished pretty high up that year, didn't they? So this would have been a trade down.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they traded down to get a top 10 pick.
If you say so, I'll believe you. But Brad Shepherd, like I said, still going around. His disposal can be let him down a little bit sometimes, but he's a good player, and they're still happy for him to be running out. So, yeah, he's got to be happy with that.
Yeah.
All right. The next pick, pick number 8, the future. John Butcher goes to Port Adelaide.
Yes.
Now, he wasn't as bad as some people say, but he wasn't as good as a top 10 draft pick.
Okay, let's go through that first statement.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad. Why do you say that?
Well, because the big criticism was his disposal efficiency, but there's people have won Norm Smith medals with shit disposal efficiency.
Not this shit, though.
Yeah.
Like, I would struggle to find a worse kick in the AFL.
But you got to be fair. He did unite the Port fans.
He did, yep.
In their hatred of him.
I tell you what, he got the ball.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
In fact, I'm giving every other club in the competition a tick.
For not getting John Butcher.
not ending up with John Butcher. Everyone gets a tick.
Just the ones that had a draft before him.
Nah, everyone.
Because they might have picked him up. Essendon would have picked Butcher up.
Everyone gets a tick for not having to put up with Butcher.
I can understand that, he might not have been that bad. However, you can't use a first-round draft pick on somebody that cannot kick.
This is a classic Richmond tactic.
And is not a ruckman. I mean, find me a ruckman that can kick better than him.
I was in the room when they were discussing that draft. And they're like, Butcher, I don't know. There's something about this kid. I got a feeling he's going to come good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feeling was diarrhea.
they loved him. And geez, they persisted.
Yep.
But even towards the end of his career in the AFL, I know he finished up in the Sandful. You could see his kicking was, I don't know where this is going. Let's just hope.
Yeah. And I was more interested in watching fans watch his game.
Yeah.
That was more entertaining.
How many games did they get out of Butcher, the future, as they called him?
31.
31.
He's done well to stick around for that long.
It's over a lot of seasons.
Over six seasons.
Yeah.
You're right. He's done well to stick around. But I think calling him the future was inappropriately apt.
Yeah. He weirdly changed numbers in his third season to 11. Made fuck all difference to his game.
Trying to make him look like the big stick.
I just realised, too, he didn't collect a lot of the ball that much. He only averaged 8 disposals per match.
Oh, he's full forward.
Surprising, actually.
But, yeah, the shots on goal let him down a little bit and became a bit of a punchline outside of... However, you got to give it to the Port Adelaide fans because they loved him.
Yeah. Averaged 1.3 goals per game, which is not awesome.
No, it doesn't say... How many kicks did he average? About 5, 6?
5.
Well, there you go, because he wasn't passing much.
No.
So that's about 4.5 to 5 shots on goal per game for one goal three.
But he did average 0.06 hitouts. So, you know.
Well, give and take.
Yeah. you kind of understand his kick then.
Next up is Andrew Moore, who's pick 9. So Port Adelaide had 2 top 10 picks for Butcher and Moore. Moore, from memory, is a little bit unlucky with injuries. did he spend time at Richmond as well?
5 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And that was part of the trade with Sean Burgoyne.
Was it? There you go.
They got that pick in. So Andrew Moore was, again, a player that had potential but was probably lower in the pecking order and then injuries again.
Yeah, lots of injuries.
I think.
Didn't play a full season. His most was 17.
At Port? Yeah, of course. Yeah, in 2013. So does that look like about 6 seasons at Port Adelaide there that he played? Yep. So it's not bad, but they never saw the best of him.
I mean, to be fair, he played at Richmond in 2016. Obviously had an impact because we won the flag next year. So I feel like he's really unsung hero.
Well, I've got a feeling he won the flag the year after in the VFL.
Oh, right.
He's
of course.
Captain of Box Hill.
Yep.
And I think he's still captain today. I'm not sure. He's doing all right, obviously, up there.
Right, so obviously giving them a cross.
That's 2 crosses for Port Adelaide in a row.
Yeah, and he was Team of the Year in VFL in 2017.
There you go. That was probably the premiership year I'm trying to think of then. He's still there at Box Hill. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up coaching down there.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like that type of player.
Port delisted him. Richmond picked him up and delisted him after that.
Just
to make sure he got the message.
All right. Pick number 10, the top 10. Jakey Melksham goes over to Essendon. I'm tempted to give this one a tick because I reckon he played some good footy at Essendon, even though he's probably played better footy at Melbourne.
Yeah, I think he was this is when I worked in casinos and everyone there was Essendon supporters. And he was one of those players that everyone could see he could do things, but he would let you down in key moments.
Yeah.
Especially defence-wise. So I think I'm still tempted to give it a tick because I think he's a good player and definitely got the maximum they could out of him. I think he has played a little bit better at Melbourne, but I think that just comes with maturity.
Well, they got 100 games out of him.
Yeah, so, that's all right. That's more than any player could ever expect.
Yeah.
Like, hopeful.
What's the average game for an AFL draftee?
It's like 30.
Yeah.
It's something like that.
It's tiny. So if you're a list manager and you get 100 games out of one of your picks, and the team is going okay, because Essendon they fell over a little bit further down the track, but that's not the player's fault entirely.
Well, it's funny that you've just brought up Jakey Melksham's career on AFL Tables, which is one of the best websites going around. And I was just looking through and I noticed, he set out an entire season in 2016. Must have been in... Oh, no. Okay. Never mind.
Well, he averaged 18 games a season, which, again, is pretty good for... Even though... I don't think he played a full season... he did in 2011. So he was pretty robust early on. Yeah. Had a few niggles, but...
But even, like,
that's good.
Rookie year, you played 14 games. That's not bad. That's pretty good for a first-year player.
2010, I think they were right then, weren't they?
Oh, they were never good. Yeah. They didn't win a final, I know that much. But,
well, compared to Richmond, that's too bad.
I don't think that's too bad for them. And obviously, they traded him on after the issues and all that, and they got a little bit for it. So,
they got Brownlow votes with them as well, so...
He's played some good games.
Only 3. That's all right. Plenty of players don't get any.
Yeah, exactly. They're called backmen.
All right, we'll give them a tick.
Give them a tick. All right, next up, Melbourne, getting back into the frame. So this is their 3rd pick inside the top, the first round.
Yep.
Jordan Gisberts, who has played some footy for them, and I believe has only just been delisted.
Really?
Well, he was nominated for the Rising Star twice, which is, not bad in 2010 and 2011.
Yeah. No, I must be thinking of somebody else because he looks like his career finished much earlier. So three seasons at Melbourne.
He's basically had enough time to do a master's. there, so.
Which, you know, at Melbourne you can't put it past.
Yeah, well, for sure. He's probably a QC right now. Fuck that football shit.
You never know. It wasn't him that got delisted this offseason. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah.
19 games total for his career. Yeah. How many goals, though? Oh, maybe, you know, he really...
Three.
Well, you know, you got to start somewhere.
One a year. That's efficient, economical.
You got to say...
And four behinds, so...
Three goals, four. That, you don't want that on your career record.
You don't want that in your game sheet.
No, he's getting his iron, though.
That's it.
He's cruelly cut short career.
Again, wrong place at the wrong time, to being at Melbourne in these years, where they spent the last couple of years trying to not win. Didn't really end up all that good for them.
Yep. All right, so that's definitely a big cross in Melbourne.
That's a big cross.
Yeah. He did have a few 1%ers, and Melbourne does love being in the 1%.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Just like a few of the Tigers, but that's a different 1%. All right, we're up to pick 12. We're only doing the first two rounds, surely, aren't we?
Yeah.
Then cherry pick.
We might cherry pick after that.
Absolutely, we'll cherry pick, yeah.
So this is an interesting...
Actually, round three is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, like I say,
it's better than round two.
It competes with round one too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Interesting one for Carlton at pick 12, Kane Lucas.
Mm.
Again, another player that was there or thereabouts, but at a team that was doing terrible.
And didn't really have a whole lot of hope in the future.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're in that environment...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
At that particular time period, it's just a washing machine of, you know, fresh clothes coming, dirty clothes coming in, fresh clothes coming out, because they offloaded a lot of good talent.
Yeah, they did.
In that period.
Certainly did a lot of turnover and trying to shortcut their way back to the top, which obviously, you know, hindsight tells us didn't work.
Yeah, and the players they got rid of turned out to be stars. Lucas, they did not get rid of.
No. So I'm going to say it's a cross.
It's going across. Yeah.
Could have done better. You know, especially when the next couple of players you would have been better off with.
Mm.
So pick number 13 is our first Adelaide pick, which is Daniel Taylor, who has flirted with all Australian form more than a couple of times and is still holding down that back line today.
He's flirted with espionage as well, which, you know, you got to respect.
That was his brother, Michael.
Well, wasn't it both of them together?
I think Kyle Cheney actually was played a little part in it.
Right.
He might have been the one that leaked it through and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Taylor, champion player.
Rising star win.
Yep.
Best and fairest win.
Was he the rising star winner, was he?
Or he got a nod?
No, 2012.
There you go. Yeah, actually, that does ring a bell now that you mention it.
He's still going now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, when Adelaide comes up against, you know, Sydney, he's the one that goes to Buddy.
Yeah.
He takes the biggest name in the back line. Mm-hmm. If he was on the delisted list right now, any of the other 17 clubs would pick him up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's a massive tick.
He's been quite robust as well. He's played full seasons in quite a few of the seasons.
Like I said,
22, 23 plus games.
So his first year, he set out his rookie year in 2010. So 2011, only played 9 games. So it's almost his third year when he won the Rising Star Award.
Yeah.
But since then, I mean, 18 games is his worst season. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's all been 23, 22, 24. Yeah.
Mm.
That's damn reliable. You know, for a bloke too that plays in a bruising role down back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very happy with that, Adelaide would be.
Yeah, and he's kicked 6 goals, 3 for his career. So
I tell you what, I guarantee they weren't within 45.
Yeah.
I think that still puts Lucas Gisbert to shame, and Moore and Butcher.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, so that's pick 13. Pick 14, Lewis Jetta goes over to the Swans.
Now, here's the one, because Swan's picked up Rowan and Jetta out of this. Yep. Which one of those two do you think will be more useful? Because they're both...
I'd say Jetta.
I'd say so too.
Yeah. And we spoke about this a lot when we did the trade week for this year. I think Jetta was worth a lot to the Swans. And I think he's actually matured into a very good leader at West Coast since. But he played over 100 games with the Swans. And I think he held the record for the Swans, if not for the AFL, for most points kicked before his first goal.
Oh,
it was something like 17.
Bell. Yeah. Well, his first season, he kicked 7 goals, 21.
There you go. Yeah.
So if he stacked on the points first, he must made have up come for it later on.
Mm. Yeah. Because I've got a feeling his first goal was actually against Hawthorn when Sydney won by 10 goals.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a junk time goal, but it was his first after kicking 12 or 17 behinds in a row.
It's funny how it's just natural to get behind a streak.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's bad or whatever. You're like, fuck yeah, let's keep this going.
Well, go down to that.
It is too, because the first one, he's got, 7-21 in his first season, 9-12 in the second season. But the third season, he's kicked, what?
45?
45-17.
In a premiership year as well. So you kick 45 goals in a premiership year, you've done all right. Mm. Just keep cycling down, go to his first season and see when does the first goal come in. Behind, yeah.
Yeah, round 15, Hawthorn.
And he's kicked a point in nearly every game up until there.
He's got a hat-trick back-to-back in a couple of games.
Yeah.
He kicked 1-3 against Hawthorn and then kicked 2 points for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so he's...
kicked goals, but he only kicked two behinds.
So it might have been 19 in a row, I reckon. It could have been even.
Yeah.
Depending on how that game went, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In hindsight. So, yeah. And obviously the biggest highlight... in his time at Sydney was running away from Cyril Rioli in that grand final as well.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a big tick for Sydney, and it's even a tick for West Coast.
Yeah, let's give West Coast one. They
he did kick a goal in the 2019 season.
Yeah, I guarantee it was from 50.
No, he didn't kick any.
Oh, well, he plays in the back line now.
Yeah.
It's
still, not unusual for the back line to...
There's no excuse.
...a sneaky goal.
Forward, yeah. Something that his last years at Sydney and what he's done at West Coast as well, his leg has grown. He's got a really booming...
That's fucking troubling. One long leg and be...
Booming boot he's got on him now. And part of the problems at Sydney was that's all he tried to do. He's like, fuck this running. I'm just going to kick it 60. Yeah. But anyway. Pick number 15, Geelong, Christian Howard. Did he play a game? Did I say Geelong? Sorry.
Bulldogs. He played 20
games.
Over 4 seasons.
I couldn't tell you anything about him at all.
Don't know. At the Bulldogs, when they were still struggling at that point, didn't make
he
much
did fuck
impact,
all.
Apparently.
Let's just be honest here.
He won 3 games in his career.
That's such a Bulldogs effort.
3-17.
The poor lad. I can't even give him an excuse of injuries because I just do not know.
I mean, his best game, he had 28 touches.
Yeah, click on it. Tell us who he played.
It was a junk time match in 2012.
Against Geelong. Oh, they're competitive at least. And that was a super side, Geelong back then. You know, reigning premiers they would have been in 2012.
But they were cruising into the finals, so I think they might have just played bruise-free.
You never know. Bulldogs might have...
Let's say the Bulldogs just managed to show them up a bit. We'll give him that.
Do we know who actually runs AFL tables?
Some dude out of Canberra.
Just some dude. Yep. Right. I thought he might have been on Reddit or something.
No, just some dude. He runs
that guy.
Runs a cake shop or something, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if they monetize that shit.
No, he never has.
Cakes? Just gives away.
All right. Rounding out. No, or I guess this is kind of the end of the first round. I'm not sure. Port Adelaide's last pick inside the first round. Jasper McMillan Pittard.
Well, speaking of people that players hated.
Oh, fans hated.
The
number of mistakes he could make in the back lines at times, but... Again, Port Adelaide loves a battler.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, he did get all Australian at Port Adelaide.
Did he really? Fuck. Well, we'd like to see who else missed out on that team.
Australian squad, sorry.
I've got to say, I don't remember him being an all Australian player, but I was going to trust
him. Imagine, like, fuck, I should be put in the squad. Let's do it.
He got, on his Wikipedia page, he's got down Coach's Award 2016.
Oh, Jesus.
Isn't that
I love it?
Isn't that the one the coaches give to the kid who's
best
struggling?
Clubman.
Borderline, you know.
At least he does what he's told.
Yeah.
He's shit at it, but
team,
he does
team
it.
Team man award. So you can never train him. You try too hard. Still shit, though.
He did win the Foss Williams medal, which I'm just trying to find out what the fuck that is.
Is that like the showdown medal? Or
I think so, yeah.
Oh, it was at the top there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the...
It's the SA in interstate clashes. So if you're the best of South Australia in an interstate match, you're in the Foss Williams
medal. Oh, is it like under-18s or something?
I think it's when we had State of Origin.
Right.
So it looks like they give out a medal whenever they play in South Australian colours, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, so obviously it's just a bullshit medal.
Yeah, a little bit. One they've made up for their own little.
Yeah,
little
I thought things. It might have been the Port Best and Fairest, but there's been a couple. No,
I
of
think that's
ones.
The John Cale.
Yeah, it's like the bad motherfucker belt.
Yeah, I think. I'm pretty sure their Best and Fairest is the John Cale medal.
Yeah.
But anyway, so is it a tick or a cross? Because I mean, he did play a lot of footy for him.
Yeah, but I think the jury's still out.
I think if you ask any Port Adelaide supporter, they'd say a tick.
That's good enough to give a cross.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
They'd say it's...
That's it.
It's funny, though. They'd say it's a tick, but then they'd say he was useless anyway, so we got rid of him, and then they'd say we should have got more for him.
Yeah.
So it's a question mark.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's a cross, because there were lots of... There were better players that went later on. I still think, like...
But they did get 100 games out of him.
I got 100
which
games.
Which is no small amount.
Yeah, but how many good ones?
I mean, his best games have been 30 possession pluses.
Yeah, so?
In 2016. His 2016 season, he had some really good games. So
that might have been the one where he made the All-Australian squad. But anyway, I'm saying it's a cross.
I'm saying it's a cross just because I think North are going to get the best of him.
Right, I thought, I gave it a cross just because Port would have given it a tick.
Yep, that'll do. All right, and finally, at pick number 17, Daniel Menzel for Geelong. So a lot of knee recos in this first round with Morabito and Menzel. I think there's 8. This is a tough one because when he was on, Menzel would kick goals from anywhere.
Yep.
Like, he was Stevie J-esque down at Geelong. But that was rare for him, though.
Was it Menzel that was sometimes playing halfback as well?
No, not really. I mean,
Menzel made Jared Waite look robust.
Yeah, he spent more time in the recovery room than he did in the game room.
Right, yeah.
I think it was 4 recos. And now he's obviously up at Sydney and he's at a groin. So I'm tempted to say it's a cross just because what it would have done to their medical insurance.
Well, yeah. And I mean, living out amongst the factories, medical insurance are already pretty exy. So we're going across for Geelong.
How many games did he play for Geelong?
73
odd games, so it's about 10 games a year.
Yeah, never played more than 19 games in a season, but he had a few 18-19s.
He played 7 games last year Sydney. But yeah,
look at the years, like 2010, 2011, didn't play again until 2015.
Yeah,
averaging 1.7 goals a game.
Yeah, so he missed, you know, a massive chunk of footy there where he just did his knee again and again and again.
It's a strong squad, it would have been hard to get back into as well.
Yeah. And his raw stats aren't that great, but his highlight reel is.
Yeah, I can say he can kick goals from the boundary without a problem. But unfortunately, too much time with the Docks.
Yep.
All right, so next pick. So we're into the second round now, where Melbourne picked up Luke Tapscott. What do we know about Luke Tapscott? Because I don't know much.
I remember picking him in my fantasy team and let me down. I'm going to be honest, he did let me down.
I mean, in a shit Melbourne squad, he was in and out and never got a Guernsey below number 35. So yeah. I think that sort of tells the tale.
I do like something about players that get higher Guernsey numbers and keep them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Robert Harvey and Kuta Fides.
Yeah. Ben Brown, Brent Harvey, both had higher numbers.
Robbie Nahas.
Yeah, Robbie. He had number 6 at one stage, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know.
Yeah. No idea.
he was number 1.
But,
or number 3.
Tapscott sounds like a Melbourne player too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does, actually.
Yeah, I like that.
But... Yeah, no. Unless he went on to be an orthopaedic surgeon or something, he was just rushing up business. That's a big cross.
That's a cross for Melbourne.
Melbourne.
It's not a good draft for Melbourne, we're saying.
Not really.
Yeah, no. Considering, especially for the next few, there's some decent players there.
Do we want to start cherry picking?
Yeah.
Oh, Ben Griffiths for Richmond. What are you going to call that?
It's a cross.
Cross, yeah. Yeah. Lots of potential when we need a big man. But he did get knocked in the head a couple of times, and that was...
And now he's trying punting, isn't he?
Yeah, he's at college. Yeah. Saw all the boys over there in the preseason, in the off-season, supporting him. Yeah, apparently he's doing pretty good.
Right.
Well, college is much more geared towards punting as well, because they can use the punt as a pass.
Really?
Yeah, like the... No idea. From what I mean, they can use...
Steve from Twitter, clear this up for us.
No, they can receive their own punt kind of thing. And
like in rugby?
Yeah. Right. So they can do rugby-style kicks and banana kicks around the corner and that kind of shit.
Right. Well, I feel like I've still got a college career in me then. Yeah, maybe. That's all I practiced.
So in the third pick in the second round, Freo picked up Nat Fife.
Yeah, some bloke from Claremont. They decided to go for the local boy.
Wasn't even their first pick in the draft. They picked up Fife. But at the time, he was seen as he's a little bit too skinny and not that committed.
Yeah.
And they still used, you know, pick 20 on him, on the local boy.
To be honest, he still looks not that committed.
Look, it did take him a long while to become good. He had skinny no more, though. He always had the talent, but for him to turn the player he was, it was a long process.
Yep.
It wasn't like he was just now and star at the very start.
No. But obviously, you know, a couple of Brownlows have come on since. Just checking there, he did play 18 games in his first year.
Yeah, he's a bit selfish though. He already had number 13 and he decided to go down number 7.
Number 7.
Maybe 13 was his unlucky number.
He
got a hit out in his first season.
I mean,
it was the third hit. The third up was his role for a while there.
He has a really good leap on him.
Mm. He does.
Bloody probably sandwich. What sets him apart from a lot of other midfielders is how good his leap is. I don't think you can underestimate how good a player he is. He's one of the, if he's not the best player in the AFL, he's in the top three on any given season. Obviously coming off a Brownlow medal year.
I mean, in his best form, who do you put ahead of him?
Yeah,
just legend of the game.
It is at the point where you go, okay, he's going to have his game. We'll try and stop everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. It's going to happen.
Yeah, without a doubt. But you can also, in hindsight, you can see why he went as low as 20.
Yeah.
Bastanac for North.
It's a cross.
I
like the way he plays.
Yeah.
Seems like a funny dude.
Yeah, and his disposal just wasn't good, and he wasn't quick enough. At the time, we had Sean Attlee, who was playing a similar role out of halfback. They'd run, and they'd kick long. Bastanac was slower than Attlee and his kick was worse. So,
did you have Tarrant at that point?
Yeah.
Drafted Tarrant. All right, we'll go down a little bit. Where do you want to go?
We'll just do tick and cross as we run through.
Oh.
So, Whedon, no idea who the fuck he is. Cross.
West Coast. Cross. Kobe Stevens. I'm going to say it's a cross. He had some good games, but I don't know if he spent all his career at West Coast.
Well, he's at St Kilda, isn't he?
Just click on him. I think he was. I think he's actually just retired.
Yeah.
So,
for Head Knocks.
Yeah, West Coast, Bulldogs and Saints.
There you go. It's a cross for West Coast. They didn't get much out of him.
Yeah.
Concussions ended his career. Jakey Carlisle. I say it's a tick.
I think so. People forget, like at the start, he was a very important player for Essendon.
Yeah. We all know how it ended up, but...
They got something out of him in trade too.
They did. I still say it's a tick.
That's one thing with Essendon. There's not really much criticism of the trade table, except that they're hard, but they have to be.
Yeah.
But they tend to trade very well, usually. They definitely cleared out house in a good way.
Yeah. Aaron Black?
Yeah, cross.
It has to be, unfortunately. A good player, just it was always the third best option.
Yeah, he was... Yeah, he had potential and was almost there a bunch of times, and his highlights are great, but no.
Travis Collier for Essendon. I'm going to say it's a cross just because his injuries, but when he was at full flight, God damn, he could run, and he tore up Hawthorn more than once. He's now applying his trade over in Freo, I think, if he's still on their list, but it's a cross, but geez, he could have been so much better.
Callum Bartlett, I'm calling that a cross just because he doesn't even have his own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it's definitely a cross.
So if he doesn't care enough about his career to put that up there.
Brisbane Lions, done.
Yeah.
Mitch Duncan is an obvious tick.
Big tick.
I mean, Mitch Duncan. Fife going as low as he did is amazing, but Duncan going that far down, and especially being a Perth boy. Geez, unlucky. I mean, it's probably only because West Coast decided to go for Whedon and Stevens.
Yeah. They could have done much better if they picked up Duncan.
I mean, geez, imagine they did.
Yeah.
Mind you, around that period, they would have had to have traded him.
Just about, yeah.
And the mid was so deep. But then again, so is Geelong's.
Jack Gunston to the Crows. Well, you've got to say it's a cross because he spent 1 year there, got their best junior award, and then pissed off, and they took the award off him.
Did they really?
I think it's called the Mark Bickley Award. They awarded it to him, and then he announced, I want to go back home to Victoria. And they went, well, we'll take that award back then, thanks.
That doesn't sound right. I mean, leaving for greener pastures is a Mark Bickley staple. So,
I don't think Mark Bickley really did, but anyway.
He did with his missus.
obviously, he had a little more success where he went to. Pick number 30, Luke Ball, who was... they tried to do a trade with Collingwood and St Kilda in the pre-season.
Yep.
And it didn't work out. And he said, well, fuck it, I'll go into the draft then. And Collingwood picked him up with pick 30. A second-round pick for an established player who went pick 2, I think, in his original draft to St Kilda.
Yep. I'm calling that a tick. Because there are a few players further down they could have gone with, but Ball was what they needed at the time.
Well, and the fact is that coming into the 2010 season, Collingwood won the flag.
Yeah.
And Luke Ball played brilliantly for them.
Yeah.
So that's a massive tick to Collingwood.
So yeah, they got the player they needed and didn't
pay
a lot
for him. At the
time
they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a rookie there wouldn't have benefited the team.
Oh, premiership window was obviously open. They went for it. They got it. Well done. What more can you say?
Yeah.
Jason Tutt for the Bulldogs?
Nope.
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 Nicholas Wimmar for St Kilda. Is it a tick for merchandise sales?
Ooh, I mean, at the time, St Kilda sucked.
But you got another Nicky Wimmar. Didn't play a game, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, I'm still putting cross.
It's a cross. But
just because there weren't enough Saints people to buy merch.
Worth a try.
Yeah.
Certainly worth a try. As is Anthony Long for Essendon.
Yeah.
It's a long.
Exactly.
Didn't work out, but it's worth a try. Now, pick 34, Maxi Gawn went to Melbourne.
Yeah, I mean...
It took him a while to get going, but goddamn.
I kind of put it across just because...
Out of spite.
I feel like I feel like Melbourne made the wrong decision to pick him. It just turned out well.
Could have been, but what a big goofy fellow that's now turned into, you know...
Superstar.
Absolute superstar, all Australian. If he hasn't got a best of fairest on his resume, he should.
And if he hasn't got his face on some barista gear, I'll be fucking stunned.
Mm. All right, we'll go through very quickly then, because I'm getting sick of it.
Asprey.
Asprey for Richmond, it's a tick. He played in a premiership.
Joel Horton for Freo, cross.
Cross.
Jamie Millen for North.
Yeah,
he's still going.
Serviceable, yeah.
But I mean...
No superstar, but you got enough out of him.
But pick 37, if you can get 150 games out of a 37 pick, you've done well.
Sam Reed would have been a better pick. Injuries, but he's still going well at Sydney.
Yeah.
Sam Grimley for Hawthorn, that's a cross.
Yep. Christensen at 40, that's a big one.
That's a good pick for Geelong. They got enough out of him.
Aidan Kennedy's a cross.
For North Melbourne. Nathan Vardy for Geelong. I think they got something out of him.
I'm giving him a tick.
Yep.
Yeah, tick.
Marcus Davies for Carlton, cross.
Matthew D for Richmond. Didn't get much out of him. He played better footy after getting picked up as a D-listed free agent for Essendon.
Cross.
That's a cross.
And then we've got Sam Shaw for Adelaide, cross. Ben Stratton Hawks. Now, that's a value bet. 46. Best 22.
Well, he's captain, and he's won three flags.
Yeah. It's a
tick. Ryan Harwood for Brisbane.
Nah.
I mean, no, but he played okay, but no. To round out round three, Jesse Crichton for Freo and Dylan Robertson for Freo. So I reckon that it's almost, but no.
No, I think they're crosses. They're both Freo.
Yeah.
The other ones are
cherry picking some, Josh. What do you see that's interesting?
Well, the only other ones are sort of the junk ones, like Taylor Jarea going to Hawthorn.
Jarea
69, but that was a was that a promotion or was that a
rookie promotion? I don't think so, but you could tell me that it is.
Yeah.
No, it definitely wasn't. Matt Suckling was who came after him. Mm-hmm. Two flags each of those two players. So.
Yeah, so they're ticks. Sam Jacobs for Carlton.
Promoted rookie. Played his best footy at Adelaide.
Yeah, I'd say so too.
Richmond passed on pick 78. I'm giving that a tick.
Cruz Garlett, promoted North, did fuck all, so nah. Although the promoted rookies have already been drafted, really.
Holy shit, Zach Dawson. All right.
To St Kilda, that's his second club.
I didn't know he took this long.
Hang on. Nahas. Number 95, though, Pierce Hanley at Brisbane.
Yeah.
But best footy is at Gold Coast.
But being a promoted rookie, he's already been drafted. Yeah, so I feel like this is double dipping.
Yeah.
All right. Preseason draft, Dylan Grimes, who just made All Australian fullback and played in his second premiership for Richmond.
Yeah.
That's amazing in a preseason draft.
Yeah. I thought Daniel Bradshaw was serviceable as well.
Not for Sydney.
Yeah, fair enough. But that, he was coming from Brisbane too, so that's fair. Yeah. And then
in the rookie draft.
Rookie draft, Daniel Harris played a few games, but
go down to number 8 there. Michael Barlow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
What an inspired, mature age pick by Fremantle. Yeah.
Was he like 25?
Blitzed it in his first year before he broke his leg horrifically.
Yeah.
Yep.
And tried to stand up on it, the dumb bastard.
God damn. Yeah.
Jeez, I remember that.
Just walk it off.
Pick 9, Magic Door.
Magic Door.
He's been there for 10 years. Fuck.
Yeah.
Now, from my memory, he spent about 4 or 5 years on the list before he got to debut and had more articles written about him in that time than any other player before him.
Well, yeah, he didn't show up until 2013. So he had 2010, 11 and 12 on the list and just getting the hype.
So it's one of those speculative, late picks, and it's a rookie draft, what does it matter? Yeah. But I think we went to his first game.
We did. And there was a massive Sudanese group.
There was an entire section of Sudanese people. I think he said he got 60-odd tickets for his debut. And from memory, he kicked the first goal and got knocked out in the first quarter.
Yep. So he had an
eventful day. I hope he remembers it.
See, if this was pick 9 in the regular draft, I'd say it's a cross. But
it's a rookie draft.
Being the rookie draft, it's rags anyway.
Yeah.
And 50 games out of him.
In 10 years.
Almost half of them were in 2018, though.
Yeah.
And his 2018 season was...
was great.
Very, very good.
And to be honest, had all right not to be on the list in 2018.
Yeah.
Until they decided, let's see how he goes to turn out back, and he's turned out all
right. Which we called in 2013. So I'm calling that one for us.
Yeah.
Unfortunate Brad Scott wasn't listening to us at the time.
Well, I called for him to be cut about 3 or 4 years earlier than that, and I still say that could have been the right decision.
Well, I mean, it's going to depend how he comes back in 2020.
Yeah.
Or if he comes back, I mean, just don't fucking know.
Yeah. And I think that's about it. I don't know if there's any others in that rookie draft that went below that.
Hmm. Well, no one that really set the world afire that
Alex Silvani played some good footy.
Yeah, yeah. Going at 24, so I'd call that a tick because they got.
It's a rookie draft.
24 in rookie draft, you get you're paying nothing. So if someone comes out of there, fair enough. Relton Roberts,
Relton Roberts from the Tigers,
absolute meme master. That's a plus.
I tell you what, Levi Casbolt, Stuart Cramery, who's just wrapped up his career in the last couple. As
Cameron
well.
Cloak,
there's some decent old names. This is probably one of the best rookie drafts
and,
ever.
Podsy Adley at 50. That's got to be a massive
tick.
It was obviously a mature age and already been on a list at Collingwood, but played in the 2011 flag with Geelong.
Yeah.
I think he's still in the coaching ranks too, down to Adelaide.
He's probably still one of the fittest blokes running around the AFL.
Yeah.
Lee Fisher at St Kilda at number 60.
Obviously now umpiring.
Yep.
So that's a tick for the umpiring department.
Absolute son of a bitch.
Who's that pick 61?
Jesse Stringer.
Is it really? Was he drafted to Geelong? I did not know that. Just check. There can't be more than one Jesse Stringer, surely. No, it is.
Yeah.
There you go. Different Jesse Stringer.
Yeah, there you go.
Who would have thought of that? All right. I think that'll about do it. That's the 10 years ago. No others that's worth...
Zach Tui.
Zach Tui. Oh, well, he's... best footy again is at Geelong.
And Clay Beams to Brisbane. His best footy was with Brisbane. So
Brisbane get one.
He was 76. So I think that's
fair. They
got
something out of him.
Mature age then.
I think he's finished up now though, hasn't he?
I think he's done, pretty sure.
Yeah. But I think they just drafted him to try and get his brother.
And it worked.
Yeah.
They got Dane for a few years.
Double tick for Brisbane recruiting then.
It's on the board.
All right, so who's got the most crosses? Who's got the most ticks? I think we're pretty sure that Melbourne got the most crosses.
Yep, well, Melbourne definitely came in last with... I've done an aggregate. So crosses and a cross and a tick gets cancelled out.
Yep.
So we've got an aggregate. Adelaide have got 0. Brisbane get 1. Carlton minus 1. Collingwood 2. Frio end up with -1, even though they pick up one of the greatest plays ever, but hey... I'm the scorer. Geelong on an impressive total of 4 with only one bad move. Hawks are 1. Melbourne are minus 2. 4 crosses and 2 ticks. That's pretty active, yeah, and pretty shit.
Yeah, but to be honest, one of those ticks was not John Butcher.
That's very true.
Maybe
yeah.
you gave yeah, ticks for right. everyone.
Everyone got one. Actually, the umpires get a tick for that too.
2 ticks for the umpires. Yep,
they're up there. All right. North Melbourne on plus 1. They've managed to salvage something. I think Magic got them back on the board. Richmond are the winners at this one, surprisingly, with 5. And it was thanks to Relton Roberts getting us across the line.
Did you give a tick for Relton Roberts?
I told you, it's the long game with Relton Roberts.
How many ticks per kilo are you giving there?
Well, I tell you what, you got Dusty Martin and Relton Roberts in the same draft year.
Yep, amazing. Amazing how you can be good and shit at your job as a selector.
Well, I mean,
or a drafty.
It makes sense, because if you're going to sell a lot of merch, a lot of the fans are going to be some of the bigger lads, and if you need a model for those sizes, Relton drops up.
Tell you what, you sold a lot of concession stands too, but some of it was during training, wasn't it?
He still gets talked about today, so I feel like there's something there.
I feel like they're going to make a statue, but the materials cost too much.
Yeah. Sydney didn't put a foot wrong with 4 straight.
Wow.
I was tempted to put them first, but no.
Actually, it was, when you look back on it, I mean, they got Gary Rowan, Lewis Jetta, Sam Reed.
Actually, they get a cost of living allowance as well, so that's another tick. So they're actually equal with Richmond. On the count back, they win. Yeah. Port get minus 3 with, 3 up, 3 down.
Yeah, they did not have a good one.
They struck out. It's a lot of Ks in there.
Butcher, Moore, and Pittard.
Yep, yeah. And they're the only team that didn't get a tick for Port Adelaide, basically.
for John Butcher. Butcher.
Western Bulldogs end up with minus 1. Eagles, just 1 solo on the board. St Kilda have a net 0, so they did fuck on that trade. And Essendon end up with 1. Oh, the umpires with 2.
Well, it's a good draft for the umpires.
Yeah, they've done well at this one.
All right. Yeah, I think that'll about do us.
Yeah. All right. Peace.
Have fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.